Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith. And with the Lord's help, we'll conclude the message I've been sharing this week from the book of Ezra in terms of success in the Lord's work. Not only in terms of corporately, in terms of the church, the body of Christ, or in the case of the historical book of Ezra, the people of Israel, but also applying it in a very significant way to our own lives, that we need to be encouraged by the word of the Lord because we have an adversary. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. He will use deception. He will use lies. He seeks to kill and destroy everything. He wants to destroy the progress that you have made in God. Sometimes discouragement can come in, and it's just like the devil tells you, well, God's not going to answer prayer. You're not going to see your heart's desires. And as a result, if we don't stay strong in the Lord, we can slide down listening to his lies. You know, that's what happened in the garden. Eve listened to the what appeared to be very reasonable conversation with Satan. Oh, hath God really said? Hath God said? Yeah. And so, beloved, we have to understand we are in warfare. And, beloved, we need to claim that full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the truth of the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth that holds everything together. If we've got to have the absolute truth of God's word, his character, his nature, the principles that are outlined in the Word of God, so we will be able to stand even in this day, this evil day. And having done all, stand therefore. All right? And so let's look at the conclusion of what seemed to be a very dismal situation in the book of Ezra, even though an incredible miracle happened. That shows you nothing is impossible with God. God moved on the heart of a heathen king in his very first year to say, you go back to Jerusalem and build the house of God. And of course, this was in fulfillment of the prophetic word Jeremiah had given 7 years before. Anyway, there was opposition. The enemies of the Jews made the work to cease. But let's look at the sixth chapter. And at this point, Darius was the king, and he made a decree because of their response back, and a search was made in the house of the rolls, basically the library, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found in the palace, that is in the province of Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written. Verse 3, the very thing they said, in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God of Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, let the foundation thereof be strongly laid. And it goes down to verse 5, and let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored. And brought. God's in the restoring business, beloved. He will restore the years the palm worm and the caterpillar hath eaten in your life. Let them be brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, everyone to his place, and place them in the house of God. And therefore, then he addresses the enemies, and he said, all of you beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governors of the Jews, the elders of the Jews, build this house of God in his place. Praise God. And then he says, moreover, I make a decree what ye shall do to the elders of the Jews for the building of this house, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. So he talk. It's just like what happened to Haman. I tell you what, he sought to oppress the Jews, and God turned the work of the enemy back on their own heads. And so then we see that they did, I'm not going to read all the verses, but in verse 13, it says, they, the governor beyond the river, they did that. And in verse 14, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. Goodness, and it says the house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. And so, beloved, making spiritual application of this basically historical event, well, we can see that the enemy is going to hinder what God wants to do in our lives, not only in terms of our personal destiny, but in terms of what God wants to do through his body in America, in the nations of the earth. He is using his body. He is the head, and he alone has the sovereign right to decree what should be done and when it should be done. And you know what? While this is true, that the prophetic word of the Lord is what encouraged them, and that's what prophecy is meant to do, to encourage, to comfort, to edify, and yet, in the New Testament, prophecy is not given for direction. I know I once struggled with this at a very difficult time in my life. I really needed a word, and I wasn't trusting what I was getting out of the word. It's like I just needed help. And so I did go, this was years and years ago, I went to a fellowship and I got a prophetic word, and it did not address at all what I was seeking God about. I mean, it said something that was already operational in my life. And it was like the Lord said when I was on my way home, told you. Why? Because I discovered years before that while, thank God for prophets, yet we cannot have a dependency upon them. I see many Christians like, what's the newest word of the Lord? What are the prophets saying? Beloved, while there certainly is a place, God does nothing that he for prophets, that he does nothing but he reveals his plan for to the prophets, yet there is a danger that the individual members of the body of Christ will structure their life and become dependent upon the prophetic word. Beloved, as much as this ministry has been dedicated to prophecy and the prophetic word, the purpose of fivefold ministry is to build your relationship with God and your ability to hear from God. It was different in the Old Testament. Why? Because they had the Urim and the Thummim. They had priests. They had prophets. They had kings. But the Holy Spirit was not resident upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon them, but not resident within them. And that was the wonderful thing that happened when Jesus died. He said, it's finished. And now our bodies, unlike back in the old covenant, our bodies now are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So God reserves the right to speak to us. We need to be patient. We need to have godly wisdom according to the word of God. But he wants to do that. He wants to be your God, your leader, the one who instructs you. Will he encourage you? Will he give the word to edify you? Of course he will. But your dependence is to be on God and not to be on prophets. And so basically we see this whole situation going back to Ezra was turned around, and the bottom line, a letter sent to the adversaries of Judah and Israel, basically let the work of the house of God alone. So they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah, and the house was finished. What is the application for ourselves, beloved? That we need a clear understanding of God's purposes, of his grace in our lives. That when we are weak, and you know it says in the news, when our strengthen the helpless hands and the feeble knees, that they may be strengthened. That's what God wants to do, and we need a fearless, wholehearted leadership united to proclaim the word of the Lord. Let me share with you, in closing, some very beautiful passages, familiar passage I trust you're familiar with in Isaiah the 40th chapter. You might feel very weak. You may feel discouraged you may feel, so incapable to the task that God has set before you. You just may be wearied and tired by this sameness and the same battles, the same problems day in and day out in your daily life. But this is God's word to you today, a prophetic word out of God's word. And this is actually God speaking through Isaiah. In verse 28, he says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." I pause. Unlike us, we do get weary. We are finite beings. He's infinite in power and wisdom and goodness and love and knowledge. It says, and claim this today, beloved, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." He can give us to eat of that living bread, and like Elijah, he did it. He ran for 40 miles on the strength of that bread. Well, spiritually, we can do the same thing, beloved. Let me close in prayer. Father, I thank you for all those who need your touch, that need the strength of the Lord today. You will, to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Father, I thank you for doing that right now, body, soul, and spirit. Father, I take authority over discouragement, just the weariness that comes in well-doing. Lord, we're not to become weary. Our bodies may become fatigued, our minds needing a rest. That's why you've given us the Sabbath, the importance of rest. And so, Father, I pray, sometimes there's not the ability to do that because of circumstances, a time of crisis. Father, I pray for a supernatural impartation of divine strength, of divine unction and anointing, wisdom. Give them the strength into decisions they need to make. Father, we thank you that you will not fail us, that you are with us, and that we give you glory, that our times are in your hands. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I encourage you, should you need prayer, the announcer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day, UCM Partners and my radio family. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.